For those of you who don't know me, my name is Samuel Kitenge. Yo, I look good on that picture, don't I? someone once told me when they saw that picture, they said, you look like a black James Bond. I'm like, that would be a good movie. My name is Samuel Kitenge. I am a full-time child of God. And sometimes I go to work, sometimes I study, and sometimes I come to church. But my occupation in life is that I am a full-time child of God. Amen. And I count myself very privileged that I get to share the word. Tonight, you are a very intimidating crowd. Sharing the words here, you always like, if you pray 1 hour a day, then you know that week you got to spend at least 3 hours a day to come and preach here, because you guys are a very intimidating crowd. But I hope that tonight we're going to have a good time as we spend time in the word of God. So just a few things that I want to lay as a foundation before we get in the word. The message that I'm going to preach tonight is not so much of an expository sermon. It's more of a topical preaching that the Lord has been forming in me in the last 4 to 5 months. Very difficult one I've struggled to apply to my own life. And it's only when this message became a reality that I live by, then the Lord came to me and said, okay, now it's time to share with my church. And I want to warn you right now that I'm going to challenge you in the way you live your Christian life. I am going to speak some truths, but most importantly, I'm going to encourage us, because in the end, the word of God is powerful enough to take us from point A to point B. I'm going to speak the word of God the way it is written, and I pray and believe that by the time we leave the hall this evening, I want us to go back into our lives living Christianity in the way it was intended to be lived. I want us to move from a place of complacency to a place of striving for more, because I promise you there is more in God. I want us to leave this place so that we can go back into our daily lives and live lives on fire for God, because God wants us to be dangerous Christians out there. Amen. So we are going to read a few scriptures, but before I do that, amen. So before I do that, I just want to share with you a quick testimony. Is that cool? Can I share a testimony? I hope you guys had a great week this week, and they really got me with these yellow lines, because I'd be jumping up and down. They're like, no more, stay here. this week was a very difficult week for me. Struggling in my relationship with the Lord, struggling with spiritual attacks from left to right center, just really struggling to get myself into that place where I'm like, God, I want to feel you, I want to hear you, I want to see you in my heart. And on Wednesday, after a long day of work, it was just really a difficult day, I got home, we had life group, the most awkward life group we've had, because there was only like 2 people. It was not structured. Everybody was tired. In fact, none of us wanted to be there, but we came only because we are committed to the life group. So after an hour of like sharing and talking, we dismissed life group and everybody went home. So I get back into my small flat and I'm sitting there and I'm like, Lord, I feel paralyzed. I want to pray, but you know what's in my heart? Amen. And I sleep. And I get to bed, you know, I am in deep sleep. Like, I am really, really asleep. You know the kind of deep sleep where you're not even dreaming. You are just, like, in a different realm. You are gone. And I'm sitting there, and I don't know what time of the night it is. And I feel a wind blows in my room, because I always sleep with my window open. There's a swimming pool next to my window. So I feel a strong wind coming into my room. And I'm sitting there. I don't know at this point if I'm dreaming, if I'm still sleeping, or if I'm still awake. But I know there's a strange wind that is filling the whole space. And as the room is being filled with that wind, that breath, I'm standing there. The wind is not leaving the room. It's still very much there. And I hear a voice calling my name once, say, Samuel. And the room, the voice fills the entire room. The voice was at the same time gentle and very scary. It filled me with joy, but I was shaking like a kid. I'm sitting there and I'm having these mixed emotions. I'm like, what is going on? And the voice is, keeps, it persists on calling my name. It says, Samuel. Like in a split second, I'm awake as if I've never slept a day in my life. I'm sitting there and I'm like, could this be the devil? But something in my spirit feels like I recognize this frequency. I recognize this line. It cannot be the devil. In the moment, I am fully aware of the presence of God. The voice of God is audible. I'm not sleeping. I'm not dreaming. But I can hear God in that moment in my room calling out my name. And I say, Lord, it's a repeat of the story of Samuel in the Bible. So here I am, Father. I'm ready. I'm listening. And as I'm sitting there, I take my phone, I take the notes of my phone, and the Lord starts speaking to me about different things. And just I keep writing and writing some scary things that the Lord is telling me that beside the point. And the reason why I'm sharing this testimony with you is not because I want to show you that I have this special relationship with God that makes me better than anybody else in here. The reason why I'm sharing this testimony with you is to show you that when we live a life that is fully surrendered to the power of the Holy Spirit, the things that we read about in the Bible, they're no longer stories. God starts revealing himself to us in a very real way. When we start living lives where we are completely surrendered to the power of God, to the power of the Holy Spirit, walk in obedience, sanctification, and righteousness, then when we make room for God and his power, then he starts revealing himself in a way that is very real. It means the Bible that you read is no longer just a book that you read. The stories that we read about, they become alive and living in our lives, because then we get to experience God the way it was intended to be. So the topic I'm going to preach on tonight is embracing life in the Spirit. Pretty much it says there, the subtitle says living life on God's terms. So let's quickly turn to scripture. We're going to read a few scriptures. We are in the book of Galatians chapter 5 from verse 16 to 18. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. Verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. I'm going to quickly jump to verse 25 that says, but if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Next scripture, John 3, verse 6 to 8. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. This is the part that I like. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. And our main scripture that I'm going to be preaching from, Romans 8, verse 5 to 14. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit, read with me, is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. I want you to pause right there. It says, those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You are however are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. Verse 11. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in the inside of you, then He who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies because His Spirit lives inside of you. And verse 12, it says, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. Amen. We're done. I think that scripture is self-explanatory. In order for us to understand the message of Paul to the church of Rome, I want to give you a little bit of context of this church that was growing in the city of Rome. And at this point in history, Rome is like the metropolitan city of the world. Life happens in Rome. At this point in time, when everybody say that every road leads to Rome, it indeed leads to Rome, because you weren't on the page if you haven't been at Rome. Your business was not important if you didn't have a plant in Rome. Like Rome was the place to be at this point in history. And because it's this busy place where everybody is looking to make it, everybody want to make money, everybody want to establish a business, the city is plagued with immorality and ungodliness. In fact, out of 15 emperors that ruled the city of Rome, 14 were practicing homosexuality. So you can only imagine that if already from the head there was so much ungodliness and immorality, what can we say about the city? The city itself, there was so much violence and so much crime that was plaguing the city that it was just a very, very dirty place to live in. And it is in this kind of city that there's a church that is being established and growing. People are trying to maintain their Christianity. People are trying to live out their righteousness in a place that is filled with immorality and ungodliness. They're trying very hard. The church is not growing. They are really trying to be, they're trying to do the best that they can to be Christians in this city. And Apostle Paul is writing to them. And as I think about the story of the church of Rome, it reminds me a little bit of the times that we are living in. Is it not the same? Our world is slowly turning ungodless. I mean, it's turning godless. It's turning immoral. It's turning to all sorts of immoral stuff. Like, we see it at work. We see it on our TVs. We see it on social media. We see it on the different streams of media. We see how our society is slowly declining. Human dignity is no longer a thing. Like, there is so much false freedom. People feel like the only way for them to be freedom is to give in to all sorts of unrighteous behavior and immoral and ungodly behavior. And it is in this society that many of us are trying to be Christians. It is in this society that many of us are trying to make it. So Apostle Paul writes, the book of Romans is his longest letter that he writes, because the issues that this church was dealing with was completely unparalleled. The issues that this church was faced with was unlike anywhere else on the world, because the level of immorality and ungodliness that was in that city was beyond control. And many of the Christians in Rome, they are really trying hard from a place of their own efforts. They are really trying hard from a place of their own will to live out their Christianity as best that they can. But unfortunately, every time they take 5 steps forward, it's 2 steps backward. And they keep falling flat on their faces. The very same sins that they give up on, that they say, I will never go back to this thing, because they're trying to live out their Christianity from a place of their own efforts, and they're really putting in the work, but they're still falling back in the very same sins that they gave up on. And unfortunately, that is the warfare of our generation. That is the warfare of the times that we live in. That is the warfare of the church of the 21st century. How many of us have come to Christ, have been in Christ for as long as we've been alive, and yet sin has found its roots in our lives? Apostle Paul is addressing these issues. You're like, I know. You said, God, I will never go back to pornography, but only when pressure hits you, you are back in the very same sin that you said you'll never go back to. In a world that is filled with immorality, you're like, God, I will never sleep with this girl again. But next thing you know, when pressure hits you, you are back in the very same sin that you said you will never go back to. Many of us are trying so hard. You're like, God, this addiction, it has overtaken me. I will never do this again. And yet, 6 months down the road, you are right where you started. Anxiety, depression, negativity is ruling our lives. It's ruling the way we try to please God. But because we're trying so hard from a place of our own effort, we keep falling back in the very same things we said we would give up. And Apostle Paul say, I don't condemn you, I understand. And that's the encouragement I have for you tonight. God is not condemning us. Because whatever we are facing today, God has seen it before. Whatever we are facing today, whatever struggle you have in your life, you're trying so hard to live your Christianity, to live your righteousness and please God, God has seen that before. He's been alive longer than you've been. He knows. Literally, what the church of Rome was trying to do is that they had stepped into this covenant of salvation in Christ, but they were trying to live out their Christianity by applying the principles of the old covenant of Moses. They were trying to live out their Christianity from a place of the law. So you see in chapter 7, Apostle Paul is describing the effects and the contrast between sin and the law. And Apostle Paul says in Romans 7 verse 18, we don't have time to read it. He says, I know the good that I'm supposed to do, but I don't do it. I keep doing the very same evil things that I don't want to do. He's telling the church of Rome, he says, I don't understand your struggle because I've also been there. How do you live out your Christianity fully, victoriously, and gloriously if every time you step at work, everybody's so negative? They never speak about God, and you have to be there and be the Jesus guy. How do you live that out? How do you live that out? You tell me, brothers and sisters, how do we live victoriously our Christianity when everywhere we go, the world is not for us, it's against us? How do you live out your Christianity if your family keeps pulling you back in generational curses? If your family keeps pulling you back in bondages that you're trying to break free from? Many of us in here, that is the struggle we have. We come to church, we put on a mask, but deep down, we're fighting for our lives. Many of us, we come here, we put on a face, we smile, we can even recite scriptures. How many of us have fallen into the habit of Christian religious activities? We go to church, we read the Bible, we attend life group, we attend grow group, and yet when we are alone, we know the things we struggle with. We are trying hard, and yet the good that we want to do, we're not able to do it. But the evil that we don't want to do has taken control over us. So Apostle Paul says, beloved, I understand what your struggle is. Somebody in here asking God, Lord, I am struggling with my sexual identity. I don't know what to do with this. It's been hunting me for as long as I've been alive. I'm trying so hard, Father, but it's killing me. Somebody in here asking God, Lord, I'm struggling with lust. Every time I see a fine brother or a fine sister walking by, it hits me. Might be funny, but it's the truth. You know that. How many of us are trying to escape the cycle of sin only for you to, 2 months down the road, you are there. And then you are filled with condemnation. You are filled with guilt. And you know the thing is, when we try to live our Christianity from a place of our own efforts, from a place of our own strength, you know what happens? We lose sight of the Holy Spirit who's supposed to help us to live our Christianity victoriously. And this is exactly the church, this is exactly what the Church of Rome found themselves in. They started living their Christianity from a place of the flesh. Because you keep trying so hard, you keep trying to make it, you keep trying to be righteous, sanctified, and holy in your own strength and in your own efforts. Guess what? Because you are doing it from a place of the flesh, then your Christianity becomes a work of the flesh. When Christianity is a work of the flesh, we lose sight of the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. We lose sight of the fact that there is a Holy Spirit that is supposed to help us in our walk toward righteousness and holiness. And you know the danger of being Christians that live from a place of the flesh is that the church becomes dry. The church becomes a place where there is no life. The church where we are supposed to experience the power of the resurrection of Christ. The place where we are supposed to experience transformation. Guess what we do? We come here, we sing songs that address our emotions. We go back, we are still the same. We come to church, we sing all these songs with beautiful lyrics. They preach to us about love. It makes us feel good about ourselves. And yet we go back in the world, we do the same things that we do, come back next week, play, repeat, same cycle. And the church of God that is supposed to impact this generation becomes a church that starts fitting in. Do you know why the world is not attracted to churches nowadays? How can they come to us if ourselves are not getting it right? If from the bottom of our hearts we know we're not getting it right, we are struggling with the same sins they struggle with. We are struggling with the same weaknesses they struggle with. When people of the world complain about anxiety and depression, guess what? We join the conversation. Me too. When people of the world start complaining about their mental health and their issues that they're struggling with, guess what? We are also part of the conversation and we start venting. I just want to inform you that venting is not a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's not. And Apostle Paul is speaking to this church. You know, brothers and sisters, I'm actually finding out recently that there is the problem with the church of our generation is not even so much of people of the world influencing the church. It's more of us believers have a struggle to turn from being believers and becoming disciples. We come to Christianity and we stagnate in this basic, lifeless Christianity because we take this thing called the covenant of Christ and we make it all about us. We make it all about what we want. And guess what? Our Christianity becomes a work of the flesh. It becomes carnal Christianity. Carnal Christianity is the reason why we are stagnating. Carnal Christianity is the reason why our faith has become empty. Where is the hunger? Where is the thirst? How do you explain to me that when people from the world come to us, they still go back with their same issues? Why are they not experiencing the Christ in us? Why are they not experiencing life and abundance of freedom in us? Why are they not experiencing a joy overflowing? Why are they not experiencing revival? The people that you work with, can they approach you with your issues and experience transformation? The people on campus, can they come to you and speak to you about the struggles they have and experience the one true and living God? Can they do that? But guess what? I'm not here to spread condemnation. Because Apostle Paul gives us a way out. He says, I know the struggle that you have. I want us to be aware, brothers and sisters, of making Christianity a work of the flesh. Romans 8, verse 8, it says, those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. And we wonder why we come to church and we're not experiencing God the way we should. The flesh and the spirit are totally opposed to one another. When we work in the flesh, we are literally telling God that, Lord, we're doing fine without you. When we start working in the flesh, we are literally telling Father, you know what? You've done enough. Stay here. I'm going to continue alone. And we wonder why we're still struggling the way that we do. It breaks my heart to see people that have been coming to Christ for several years, but you look at their spirit. The life of Christ is nowhere to be found in them. The transforming power of the Holy Spirit is nowhere to be found in them. Where we should be experiencing God more than we do. We should be seeing Him more than we do. What happened? So many of us will be wondering, Brother Sam, then what exactly are you saying? Apostle Paul, we see this as a recurring theme in his messages, in his letters to the church. He says, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. That is good news for somebody in here. He says, I've got something good for you. I've got some sweet stuff that I want to share with you. I understand the struggle, but I'm not just here to point out the problem. I'm also here to give you the solution. He says, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. You know what the reason why we struggle? It's because salvation was orchestrated in our lives by the Holy Spirit because of Christ. Then we receive salvation. We want to go back to living our Christianity from a place of the flesh. Whatever was given by God can only be maintained by God. Whatever was given by the Almighty God, it requires His means and His principles for us to maintain it also. Because you keep trying to live out your Christianity from a place of the flesh. Guess what? That's why you've been struggling with the same sin for 15 years. Because you're making your Christianity about you. You're trying to make it on your own. Just like we saw with the Church of Rome. But Apostle Paul gives us good news. He says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Many of you will be wondering right now, but Brother Sam, we get you. You say walk in the Spirit, but what does that mean? What does that look like practically? So I thought this would be a good opportunity. I learned Greek this year in school. Irrelevant at this point. Just go check it out on Google. You'll find it out. I wanted to give you the two words that Apostle Paul is using in Galatians 5 and Romans 8. He says, the first word in Galatians, he says, walk. And then in Romans 8, he says, those that are led by the Spirit. So we're going to look at the words walk and to be led. I'm going to spare you all the Greek because I'm not here to expose some theological knowledge that I've gained in Bible school. At this point, I just want us to, like, let's be practical. Is that okay? Can I still talk to you like my friends? Do you still love me? Thank you very much. When you read from the Greek background, the word walk, it simply means to leave, to deport ourselves from one realm to another. It means to follow something or someone. To be led means to bring ourselves to something, to be driven by something or someone, to be passed from one realm to another, or to be induced by something or someone. So this is what it means. To walk in the Spirit simply means to be so completely and fully yielded to the power and the leading of the Holy Spirit until the only life that is left to be seen in us is the life of the Holy Spirit. To be led by the Spirit, it means we reach a point where every selfish ambition is left behind so that when we step in the world, people look and say, something about you. Like in French, we say, you have a little bit of je ne sais quoi. There's something about you that's just like, shine strong. People look at you, they're like, this boy, this brother right here, we don't understand you. In fact, when you are led and induced by the Holy Spirit, you have no need to be convincing people that you are a Christian because the life in you speaks for itself. People look at you, they'll be like, I want to be your friend. Let's quickly read it from the Amplified Version. Galatians 5, verse 16. It's on the same, I think it's on the next slide. But I say, walk habitually in the Holy Spirit. Seek Him and be responsive to His guidance. And then you will certainly not carry out the desires of sinful nature, which respond impulsively without regard for God or His precepts. Romans 8, verse 14, it says, for all who are allowing themselves to be led, to be implicated with, to be induced, to be passed on, to be driven, to be governed by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So you understand that walking in the Spirit, it's a thing of you habitually, constantly submitting your will and your ways to the leading of the Holy Spirit, because that is the only way we get to overcome in this godless generation. Submitting to the will and the power of the Holy Spirit is how we live our Christianity victoriously and represent God's world, because without Him, there is absolutely nothing that speaks of the kingdom wherever we go. Sometimes when I look at people who are filled with negativity, people who are filled with, who are constantly complaining, people who sometimes struggle with issues that they shouldn't be struggling with, I know for a fact that it is an indication that somewhere, somehow, there is a life that is not completely submitted and yielded to the life and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because whatever is important to us, we make time for. We allow ourselves to be entertained. We spend so much time on our screens. We spend so much time watching Netflix and all related stuff. Guess what? What entertains you enters you and dictates the way you respond to God. So, if you identify with the fact that you've had an issue submitting to God and listening to Him, I want you to know tonight that somewhere, somehow, you've been walking in the flesh, and Apostle Paul reminds us, those that walk in the flesh cannot submit to God. So it's an issue of pride. And God says, I give grace to the humble, and I resist the proud. God doesn't send angels to resist the proud. He Himself resists pride. You know, walking in the Spirit requires dying to self so much. It requires taking every selfish ambition, everything that we think we need, everything that we think we desire, taking it all and say, God, I know that this is what I want to do, but You just do it Your way, because this is not worth it. Sometimes the Holy Spirit be asking you, brother, sister, join that life group, join that grow group. And the reason why we resist is because most of the time what the Holy Spirit asks us to do doesn't make sense to us cognitively. But I have good news, somehow bad news for you, is that the Holy Spirit is never seeking for agreement. He's seeking for obedience. Whatever God asks you to do, He doesn't come to you and say, brother Yush, listen, this is a plan. Do you agree? Should we do this? Let me finish, brother. He doesn't come to you and say, brother Glenn, listen, I just want to propose. How does this look to you? Do you think we can do this? No. God doesn't seek agreement. God seeks obedience. God wants people that will leave it all behind and say, God, you know what? I've struggled with this long enough. I've put my own way into this. I've put my own heart into this. I've put my effort into this. But you know what? Comes hell or high water, I'm going to submit, because this is life-giving. Because this is what is going to change me and completely transforms me. You can wake up one morning and the Holy Spirit tells you, today you're not driving your car. We're taking an Uber to work. I'd be like, but I didn't plan to spend money today. And the Holy Spirit would be like, I know, but it's my money, not yours. And you still have to do it anyway. You go wake up some mornings, you know, the Holy Spirit tells you to do something that is completely out of the ordinary. Guess what? It's that kind of friendship and partnership with the Holy Spirit that helps us overcome. It's that level of intimacy, brothers and sisters, that helps us become a church that transforms our generation. It's that kind of partnership. He is here to help you. You're not supposed to do it on your own. It's not supposed to be a work of your own effort. It's not supposed to be a work of your own flesh. But in order for us to fully walk in the Spirit, we have to allow Him to break our hearts for what breaks God's heart. We have to allow Him to break our will so that we can fully submit to the will of God. We have to allow Him to take the lead completely. Because the only way we fully get to submit to God and be everything that He wants us to be and step into the things that He wants us to step into is if we make room for the Holy Spirit. Can we stop making the Holy Spirit this fluffy thing that makes us have goosebumps in worship? Can we please stop making the Holy Spirit this guy that we only consult on Sundays? If we invest so much of our efforts and resources to build community by social activities, can we also invest the same resources to build community with spiritual activities that fill our hunger and thirst for God? If I'm going to spend so much time getting my friends for a hike, trust you me, I'm also going to invest the same time and resources to get together so that we can pray and fully make room for the Holy Spirit. It is needed. The less Holy Spirit we have, the more coffee we need to keep church going. The less Holy Spirit we have, the more structure we need to keep church going. But walking in the Spirit is a matter of complete surrender, brothers and sisters. Walking in the Spirit is the key to living victoriously, to living graciously, to spreading the love and the power of God in our environment. Many of you here, I hear a heart crying out and say, Lord, my family, they're not saved. Lord, my brothers and my sisters, I've been trying to get them to the other side of the fence, but I've been trying so hard, it's not getting me anywhere. God says to you, walk in the Spirit. Because whatever desires God laid upon your heart is not for you to sort out. It's not for you to fulfill. Every dream, every desire, every worry, every concern that God has placed upon your heart, you can only walk into fulfillment of those things by fully relying on the Holy Spirit. Come on. If the Holy Spirit was able to resurrect a whole Jesus Christ from the grave, what can He not do for your life? You gotta befriend Him and make Him a friend that walks with you every day. Every morning you wake up, you're like, Spirit of God, what's the schedule of the day? Spirit of God, what do you want me to do? It doesn't eliminate your free will and your wisdom and using your brain, but your brain can only even be effective if the Holy Spirit is working it. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Practically, why do we need to walk in the Spirit? So I came up with a small formula. It's not mathematics. It's very simple stuff. I call it the SAR, S-A-A-R. Sanctification, authority, alignment, and revival. Repeat after me, say sanctification, authority, alignment, and revival. Walking in the Spirit facilitates our sanctification. Galatians 5, verse 16 to 18. It says, but I say, walk by the Spirit. Can we read it together if that's okay? 1, 2, 3, go. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Brothers and sisters, the level of purity, holiness, sanctification, and victory over our sinful desires that is required in our lives is equally tied to the depth of the relationship we have with the Spirit of God. I want to give you a short testimony, and I will just avoid to give a lot of details. Quite a while back, a few months back, the Holy Spirit started warning me about a spiritual attack that I would receive and that will lead me into sin. And the Holy Spirit started telling me, say, hey, Sam, dude, we need to be spending more time in prayer. We need to be spending more time in the Word. We need to be spending more time in community, doing A, B, C, D, and doing all these things. Thank you, Bradley. That's my big bro over there. And I kept resisting, right? Yo, this looks good. I'm sorry. And I kept resisting, you know, be like, Holy Spirit, you know what? I'm gonna attend to this later, tomorrow. And I kept like postponing the spiritual activities. And then the one day, what the Holy Spirit warned me about happened exactly how he warned me about it. So I'm saying, you know, like sometimes when you fall into sin, you become a bit stupid. You know, like, I don't mean to offend anybody, but your brain shifts, you know? You're like, something is strange. Something is wrong. The thing we've seen is that it may feel good in the moment, but nobody can avoid the pillow. Because once your head hits that pillow, you can't sleep. Condemnation, shame, and guilt start hitting you. So I'm sitting there, and the Holy Spirit is like, you see your things now. I told you about this. I warned you about it. Oh, the Holy Spirit can tell you, I told you. Because one thing about the Holy Spirit is going to warn you before, while doing it, and after. Yes. So I'm sitting there, I'm like, okay, I wasn't supposed to fall into this dispute, and now it's like becomes a, now I have to like, you know, you have to start doing things that kind of embarrass you, but because you need to obey now, you've already fallen into the thing, now you need to call people to confess a sin, and it becomes a whole awkward situation, and the Holy Spirit is like, this could have been avoided, bro, but we're here now, so we need to make it right. So, of course, I do the proper things. I call one of my best friends, my accountability partner. So we're sitting on the phone and, you know, we're having a very difficult conversation and we're talking about it. And, of course, things are made right. Brothers, sisters, the Holy Spirit has been sent by God to facilitate our sanctification. Sometimes you won't understand why the Holy Spirit is asking you to spend more time in the Word. But let me warn you, he's already gone ahead of you. He's seen the traps of the enemy ahead of you. Comes back in the present and start helping you build spiritual muscles to overcome. But we just won't listen. Because why? I mean, I'm a medical student. I know it all. Why do I need the Holy Spirit? You know? I've got a good life, I've got a house, I've got the car, I've got the wife, I've got the dog, I've got everything that I need. Why in God's name do I need the Holy Spirit? But the way we live our Christian lives was not intended to be like that. Some of the struggles and the battles we experience are so unnecessary. It can easily be avoided and we can fully become instruments in God's hands. The Holy Spirit will be giving you revelation and helping you spend time in the Word to build up your spiritual muscles so that whatever befalls you, you can easily overcome. But you will not, if from the get-go, you are not fully yielded and fully submitted. Once again, as I said, if our salvation was not a work of our flesh, neither is our sanctification. How many of us, brothers or sisters, be installing so many applications on our phone to avoid falling into pornography and stuff, and yet, as soon as you get a different device, you know you're going to fall into that same thing. It's because all those things is the wisdom of the world if it's not done in the power of the Holy Spirit. We can build as many walls as we want, but if we don't do that with the help of the Holy Spirit, we're going to break those walls ourselves to keep falling in the very same sins we gave up on. What was granted by God can only be maintained by God. If God administered our salvation in heaven, Christ orchestrated it, then our sanctification can only be manifested by the power of God, the Holy Spirit. Do you want to live in full sanctification? Do you want to overcome some of the weaknesses? Don't get me wrong. I am not talking about being perfect, because we will never be perfect. But the Holy Spirit, He helps us walk from one dimension of glory to another into full perfection when Christ comes back. But if today and now we are not fully yielded and fully submitted, guess what? Every second month, you're going to be coming back to your spiritual leaders and your spiritual accountability partners and confess the very same sins you said you will never go back to. And that is exactly what the enemy wants. Because as long as he can keep us stagnating, let me tell you, spiritual battles can only be addressed. Physical battles can only be addressed with spiritual weapons. We're trying so hard, trying to overcome sin, trying to uproot sin in our lives, our own efforts physically. And yet, God is like, child, physical battles cannot be overcome physically. There are weapons available. The Holy Spirit is there to help you. He's there to equip you, overcome, and walk out a life of sanctification and purity. The second thing is that life in the Spirit facilitates spiritual authority. You see, when we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us into the highest level of sanctification and create purity in us, what usually happens is that the higher your purity, the higher your spiritual authority. It means the devil sometimes cannot approach you with petty attacks because your purity creates a boundary wall. He cannot access it. Your sanctification becomes a boundary, a wall around you that constantly making you a flame of fire. The devil will come and say, that's God's child. We cannot, because he walks in purity. You see, there is this part of scripture where Jesus tells the disciples, he says, the devil came to me, but he couldn't overcome me because he didn't find anything that belongs to him inside of me. So now, we cannot overcome demons that we play with. Sometimes the devil comes to us and overtake us simply because we be playing with his toys. Sometimes the devil comes to us, you constantly find yourself falling into the same cycle of mental health, anxiety, depression. And I understand sometimes it can be a medical condition. I am fully aware of that, but I'm talking about that supernatural kind of struggle that you face. You're like, why am I not overcoming this? Sometimes it's because in our hearts, we're still holding on to pain from the past. We're still holding on to issues that are not supposed to be there to begin with. Spiritual battles can only be faced with spiritual weapons. The thing is, if we are not driven by the essence that flows from his presence, everything else is absolutely distraction that amounts to nothing. The devil be keeping us in the same cycle over and over and over again. We lack spiritual authority simply because we don't walk in the Spirit. We walk in the flesh. Number three. Life in the Spirit facilitates divine alignment. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. For what person knows the thoughts and motives of a man except a man's spirit within me? So also, no one knows the thoughts of God except who? Life in the Spirit is what keeps you calibrated and focused on what God wants to achieve in your life. The Holy Spirit knows the purpose of your life more than you do. The Holy Spirit knows the will of God, the promises of God for you more than you do. But how do we make sure that we keep walking in those promises? We need to befriend the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit helps us walk in the providence of God. It means he goes ahead of us once again.
He sees the breakthroughs that await us. He sees the doors that God has already opened. He sees the promises of God that have already been fulfilled. He sees the wife that God has for you. He sees the husband God has for you. He sees your kids. He sees your degree. He sees everything that God has already planned for you. And then he come back in the present and say, hey, man, I've seen it. I've seen what God has prepared for you. Now let me help prepare you for what God has prepared for you. Now we be here trying to overwhelm ourselves with, you just feel like, maybe if I can just get one more degree, I'm going to get it. Maybe if I can just start another business, I'm going to get it. Maybe if I just like do one more thing, maybe get another dog, I'm going to get it. And the Holy Spirit is like, it's very simple. Maybe you just need to stay here and be faithful. Brothers and sisters, when you don't know what God wants you to do, go back to the last thing he told you to do. When you don't know which way to go, go back and position yourself in the last thing God called you to do. Because it's by being faithful in that, that God will make a way for you to step into the next thing. The Holy Spirit aligns us with the will of the Father. He aligns us with the heart of God. But how many times many of us have missed it? It's sad. Sometimes I come across people even on social media who be confessing, I really feel like I married the wrong wife. I'm like, wow, that's your burden to carry. Because had you listened to the Holy Spirit, this could have been avoided. I know this might sound harsh, but I'm glad I'm not your pastor. I'm glad I'm your friend. Because sometimes, you know, Pastor Theo has to be careful, you know, sometimes like, okay, these are my flock. I'm like, I'm going to go back and sleep in peace. I love you, Theo. The Holy Spirit knows the heart of the Father more than we do. The Holy Spirit knows the plans of God more than we do. He's seen what's in the future. So you want to walk in divine alignment. Stick with the Holy Spirit. Few years back, 6-7 years back, when the Holy Spirit was like, okay, I'm like, okay, I want to do a degree with UNISA or something. And the Holy Spirit was, you go do it. Go study theology. Like, woo, me. The Holy Spirit was like, yeah, go study theology. He even told me the institution that I was supposed to go study to. And I'm like, but it's not even accredited. Why do you want me to study there? The Holy Spirit is like, that's where I want you. But that is strange. Well, here I am a few years later preaching to a church. They didn't plan for it. But the Holy Spirit knows the call of God on your life. He knows the purpose of God for your life. He knows the promises of God over your life. Let him do. Because sometimes we think, if I can just be more qualified, then it's going to give me value in society. All of that amounts to nothing if it's not backed up by heaven. I want to share with you a quick testimony. Again, I love sharing testimonies. 2 years ago, I had just moved to Cape Town. In fact, I was even struggling just like finding community in church and stuff. I was struggling with a lot. And the Holy Spirit came to me and said, hey, Sam, listen, buddy. Enough is enough. You've struggled with these things for quite a long time. Can we fast? I'm like, yeah, we can. I love food, but we can. And the Holy Spirit said, I said, how many days do you want us to fast? The Holy Spirit said, 40 days. I'm like, you mean 14? The Holy Spirit said, you need to fast 40 days. I'm like, are you sure? What about, is it not 14? He says, 40, we are fasting for 40 days. Some of my life group members here would remember that I would come to life group, I'm just like, I'm over this. I can't. I'm tired. I haven't eaten in so many days. But it was an intense moment of prayer. But as I submitted to the will and the power of God, it's not my fasting that unlocked doors over my life. But it's the fact that I submitted and yielded to the will of the Holy Spirit. It granted Holy Spirit permission to go around and start aligning my life with the will of God for me. So in a matter of 40 days, my life completely changed, completely transformed. Things that I have been waiting for several years, in a matter of a few weeks, my life was completely transformed. So you want to walk in divine alignment? Stick with the Holy Spirit. And the last thing I want to speak about is that life in the Spirit facilitates personal and corporate revival. And this is what I'm going to end with. God is calling us to be a church that is on fire for Jesus. God is calling us to be Christians that are working and seated in the realm of the Holy Spirit. God is calling us to be a church that impacts our generation. God is calling us to more because there is more to be experienced in Christ. He says, in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and my sons and my daughters will prophesy. But why are we not experiencing that? Because we are not making room for the Spirit of God. But this is a time where the church of God needs to experience revival unlike never before. But the only way we come to church and experience miracles, signs, and wonders is if we make room for the Holy Spirit as individuals. Because a fire is only as strong as each wood catch fire. But if you're not catching fire, you're not igniting the fire of God in your life, in your room, seeking encounters with God, and then you come to church and hoping to experience God, we will constantly struggle to see the move of God in our lives as a generation, to see the move of God in our lives as a church. God is calling us to a place where, brothers and sisters, we completely and fully die to ourselves. You're like, Lord, not my will, but your will. God is calling us to a place where all these things that we hold dear, all the idols that we have built in our lives, the way we allow the world to shape our thinking, God is calling us to a place where we let go of all these things so that the Holy Spirit can point us to God. For us to be living the kind of life that God has already intended for us to live. The church of God will only experience the revival of God to the extent to which each individual makes room for the Spirit of God in their lives. We come to church, we have not prayed. We come to church, we have not spent time in worship. We come to church, we have not invested in seeking God through the word. And yet we wonder why we go back and all that has been impacted in our lives are our emotions. There is place, the word of God addresses our emotions. But if emotions are the only thing that God addresses, your character will never be transformed. So we gotta make room for God to address everything. As much as he addresses our emotions, he needs to address our character, he needs to address our personality, he needs to address the roots of sin in our lives so that we can reach a place where we are fully stepping into the divine realm that God has for us and for the church of God to catch fire. Oh, there's revival available, brothers and sisters, I promise you that. There is yet another dimension to be experienced in the Holy Spirit. But we gotta make room for him. Ephesians 5 verse 18 says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is wickedness, corruption, and stupidity. But be filled with the Holy Spirit and constantly be guided by him. In the Amplified Version it says. The reason why many of us are not even walking in the Spirit is because we haven't even received him. The reason many of us are not walking in the Spirit is because we received him as a salvation package, but we are not allowing him to fill us every day and to lead us. We are not allowing him to control our lives, but it's only in doing so that we can experience the full and perfect will of God for our lives. I'm just going to invite the band to come quickly as I'm closing off. I've said enough, but I want you to be meditating in your heart about the message that was shared. I don't know if this was relevant to you. I don't know if this spoke to you in any way. They're just going to help us switch off the lights at the back. But we're going to pray to just invite the Holy Spirit in this room. Is that okay? Is that okay? Can we just like make room for the next 10, 15 minutes for the Holy Spirit? Is that okay? I'm just going to invite you to stand where you are. If you feel like your life has been a constant, ongoing struggle, you feel like, Lord, I'm trying, but I'm not getting it right at all. You feel like, God,
I've sacrificed so much. I'm sweating out here. I am fighting for my life, but God, I am not getting it right. You feel like, God, is there something wrong with me? Do you not love me enough? I want to invite you in this moment to like let go and say, Holy Spirit, I am here right now. I've tried, but now I'm tired. I give up. I've had enough of this, but I want to see more of you, and I want to fully walk in the Spirit. As we worship together, allow the Holy Spirit to work in you. Thank you.